All right, Rabbosai, good morning. Good morning, good morning. Let us begin. Begin by thanking our sponsors. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Adar Beis. To thank Leah Sol for dedicating all of the Shiurim and Drushos this month in honor of those who organized the beautiful and meaningful groundbreaking, and as well as those who work so hard on behalf of the shul each and every day. Beautiful sponsorship and dedication. We thank Leah. Well, so with that, let us begin. So we have a very exciting daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Chof Vav 26, and we are picking up in Yerzan Hashem on Chof Hei Amud Beis 25b, and we are picking up Kade Yayin V'Kade Shemen. It's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18 lines up from the bottom. So remember again, the Mishnah, up until now we've been speaking about one of the Chumras, or a couple of the Chumras, that Truma has over Kodesh, right? We began the Perek by speaking about the stringencies that Kodesh has over Truma, and now we've transitioned to speaking about the Chumras that Truma has over Kodesh. So in the last part of the Mishnah is focusing on Kade Yayin V'Kade Shemen, literally the jugs, the utensils that go ahead and hold wine and oil, Hamidumaos. Now remember again, Dimua, we actually just had this in Shabbos' Mishnah Yomi as well, Dimua usually refers to a mixture of Truma and Chulin, or as Rashi points out over here, Tevel, Truma, and Chulin, right? Untithed, Truma, Chulin, all mixed together. So the Mishnah says over here that Halacha L'maisa, when it comes to the jugs, ultimately, again, once again, Ne'emanin Alein B'Shas HaGitos V'Habadin. So Ame Aretz are believed regarding the ritual purity of the jugs at the time of the wine pressing and olive pressing seasons, but not only that, also 70 days prior to the olive or the wine pressing season as well. Okay, Chevron Zoom, you hear me all right? So, Chevron Zoom, you hear me all right? Oh, it's iffy. Okay. I don't know, maybe it's an internet issue, I'm not sure. It's slow, it could be an internet issue. Okay, yeah. You know what? Can I give this to you guys? Yeah. And you take me. Yeah. Okay, so. Therefore, again, with that, the Mishnah says, the Gemara says as follows. So, Tana, we learned that ultimately, again, Ami Aretz are not believed neither on the Kankanim, on the jugs, nor on Truma. So, we'll say, so says the Gemara, Kankanim Demai. So, what are we talking about? What type of jugs are we referring to? E Kankanim de Kodesh, if you're talking about the jugs of Kodesh. So migo de mehemen akodesh, mehemen nami akankanim. So at the end of the day, if we are believed regarding Kodesh, so then we should be believed regarding the jugs as well. In other words, I will say, if at the end of the day, the Ama Aretz is believed regarding the contents of the jug, then he certainly should be believed regarding the actual utensil itself. Rather, we must be talking, and again, we've already established that Ami Aretz are believed when it comes to Kodesh. Ela kankanim de Truma. Rather, it must be referring ultimately to the jugs of Truma, to which the Gemara says, Pshita, hashta Truma lo mehemen, akankanim mehemen. Well, here's the problem. How could that be? Because at the end of the day, if we just establish that an Ama Aretz is not normally believed regarding the actual contents, the Truma itself, then how could he be believed regarding the jugs? Ella, so again, what the Gemara is asking over here is, I don't understand, the jug really shouldn't be any different than the contents. So if you're telling me that Ama Aretz is believed regarding Kodesh, then he should be believed regarding the jugs of Kodesh also. And if he's not believed regarding Truma, then he's not going to be believed regarding the jug of Truma as well. So we'll say, this is fascinating. Ella, Bereikanim de Kodesh ubishayim osashana, ubimalayin de Truma ubishas hagidos. Rather, says the Gemara, what are we referring to over here? Listen to this. We're referring to the empty utensils that were used for Kodesh throughout the year, and with jugs that are filled with Truma at the time of the pressing season. Now look at Rashi for just a moment. So Rashi says, Bereikanim de Kodesh, la'achar sh'ira mehen Kodesh, Sibyl said, this is actually quite fascinating. Technically speaking, if you have jugs that were used for Kodesh, but now the Kodesh was emptied out. Once the Kodesh was emptied out, then halacha lamaisa, once the Kodesh is emptied out, then halacha lamaisa, one no longer has credibility regarding that particular jug. In other words, the credibility regarding the jug for Kodesh is only when the Kodesh is inside of the jug. But once the Kodesh has been emptied out, there's no longer any level of kashrus upon the jug itself. That's for Kodesh. Ubishari Kolimos Hashanah, Rashi says, Kilomar Kolimos Hashanah, the Kodesh in Chilik, Bein Shas Hagitos, the Shaimos Hashanah. So when it comes to jugs of Kodesh, an Amaretz is only believed regarding the jug when the Kodesh is inside of the jug. But once the contents are emptied out, so the Amaretz loses his credibility vis-a-vis that jug. What about by Truma? This is absolutely fascinating. Let's take a step back for just a moment. Why is it that a Ama Aretz is believed regarding Truma during the pressing season? Right? We never spoke about this. Right? We know rules. What's the rule? The rule is that an Ama Aretz has credibility regarding Kodesh throughout the year and has credibility regarding Truma only during the pressing season. Why? Why? But say here, Rashi explains it, and it's absolutely fascinating. Look at that Rashi once more. Obimalei the Trum b'shas hagidos, she'af api shlo gazru al trumasam b'shas hagidos. Chazal did not impose Tuma upon the Truma of an Amaret during the pressing season. Right? Why? Mipnei hefsit kohanim chaverim. Rabbi says it's very simple. It's because if you go ahead and you say that the Truma of an Amaret is tamei during the pressing season, who loses? Who loses? The kohanim. The kohanim. And I will say, by the way, are most people amei haaretz? This is a dangerous question to answer. Right? Yeah, kind of. Right? Kind of. In other words, remember, amei haaretz is not a pejorative term. Amei haaretz is just reflective of that most people are not versed in the halachos of Tum and Tara. So if you start saying that the truma of an Ama Aretz is tame at the time of the pressing season, the real losers, right? The real people who lose out on that are the Kohanim, right? Because the Kohanim are going to miss out on a huge portion of truma. The name says, Mafsidin Meirov Trumos Eretz Yisrael. But say, look at the wording of Rashi. See, Rashi says it. Rashi says the majority of people are Ame Ha'aretz for this particular situation. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, if you go ahead and you make the trumos of an Ame Ha'aretz tame, the Kohanim are going to lose in a dramatic fashion. So we'll say, so isn't this absolutely incredible? Right? So really, now we understand it. Really, the truma of an Ame Ha'aretz, if I'm a Kohen, I shouldn't touch it. Because Ame Aretz are not versed in the laws of Tum and Tara, and therefore Halacha L'maaseh have to assume it's Tame. Chazal said, aye, but during the pressing season. We'll say, by the way, does it even make sense? So during the pressing season, suddenly again, Ame Aretz become Talmidei Chachamim. Right? During the pressing season, they know what to do. Well, if they know what to do during the pressing season, then they should know what to do the rest of the year. If we believe them during the pressing season, we should believe them during the rest of the year. And the answer is, we'll say, you see this a lot in this halacha of Demai, right? You see how when Chazal go ahead, we actually just had this in Mishnah Yoma also, you see that when it comes to dealing with Ame Ha'aretz, Chazal essentially relax or suspend their halachos concerning an Ame Ha'aretz when it either causes undue hardship or undue loss. So in this case over here, it's undue loss. If you say that a Kohen cannot eat from the truma of an Ama Aretz, even during the pressing season, they're going to lose an incredible amount. Sefer Habosei now finished the Rashi. However, this dispensation was only on the truma of the Ama Aretz. What is it not on? Ala kankanim lohe aminun. Sefer Habosei, this is fascinating. This is just fascinating. The license to go ahead and, halacha lemaisa, she's good because the video is not on Zoom. Okay, thank you. The license to go ahead and and enjoy the truma of an Am Haaretz is only on the truma. It does not apply to the jugs. It does not apply to the jugs. The jugs themselves, the Kohen can't use. Look at Rashi says, "Veina kohanim chaverim mekablin mehena kankanim ima truma." So listen to this. If you're a Kohen and you're being mekabel truma from an Am Haaretz, listen to this. You can accept the truma. What can't you accept from the Am Haaretz? His jugs, right? His utensils. His utensils. Listen to this. Aval meir and osa lekelehen. So I'll say essentially what it means is when you're the Kohen and you're getting truma from an Am Haaretz, you ask the Am Haaretz to transfer the contents into your jug, right? Into the Kohen's jug, into the Kohen's utensils. You can't take the utensils of the Am Haaretz. He said, "Vama Aaron also the Kileyan, Udi Kavasa Larmina Lakamon, Altatama Shari Lug." So I'll say, so therefore again, Salochalamaisa, the Imam suggests as follows, that essentially, the ritual purity of the truma of an Am Haaretz during the pressing season is only on the truma itself, but does not devolve upon the utensils of the Am Haaretz. Pretty incredible. So the Gemara goes weiter. Tinan, kadi yayin vekadi shaman amidumos. So we'll say, so the Mishnah spoke about jugs of wine and jugs of oil that are midumos. So my love midumos the truma that I will say, as you mentioned before, we saw in Mishnah, dimua usually refers to a mixture of truma, chulin, tevel. It does not usually refer to kodesh. Yet again, the subject of the Mishnah is kodesh. So I'm going to be Rabbi Chiya midumos the kodesh. He says no. In this case, the dimua refers to dimua of kodesh. Umi ika dimua le kodesh. But again, that term dimua doesn't usually apply to kodesh. Amri Devi Rabbi Loi, Bimitar Estivlo Lito Mimenu Nisachim. Ultimately, again, what's the case over here? The case over here is where a person is being mitaher his tevel. He's going ahead and purifying his tevel in order ultimately to separate out libations from his tevel. That's why it uses the lashon ultimately of Dimua. Beautiful. Kodem Legitos Shivimyom. So remember again, the Mishnah said not only that, but jugs, right? The utensils have a presumed ritual purity even 70 days prior to the pressing season. We learn from this. Dinohu di'iluya arisa lemitrach agofi shivin yomin mikamei ma'atzarta. So Rabbi says, you just learned from here a separate halacha, which is that the sharecropper has an obligation to go ahead and secure proper utensils to contain, right, from the pressing, from the wine pressing, from the olive pressing, 70 days before the pressing. Good. Just learning an interesting halacha vis-a-vis the responsibilities, ultimately, again, of the sharecropper. Beautiful. So we'll say we now come to the Mishnah. So now a continuation of the halacha. So we'll say really fascinating sugya. Says the Mishnah, Min ha-modiim vilifnim ne'emanin akli cheres. So we'll say from modiim and into Yerushalayim. Right? So again, remember. So Rashi points out over here, min ha-modiim vilifnim, modiim shem krach, rachok mi-Yerushalayim tes vav mil. So modiim is the name of a city that's within 15 mil of Yerushalayim. Ki da'amar b'mesechas, excuse me, p'sachim, Mimenu v'lifnim l'tzai yushan ne'eman. So we'll say, I'm sorry, let's finish the Mishnah. So ne'emodim v'lifnim ne'emanin al kli cheres. So we'll say, now we're switching gears a little bit. What are we talking about over here? Kli cheres. So we'll say, now we're talking about the ritual purity regarding a kli cheres. Right, so min ha-modiim v'lifnim. So from modiim and on, ultimately we are believed regarding, or I should say, Amei Haaretz are believed regarding the ritual purity of earthenware utensils. Now we'll say, let's get a little bit of a background over here. Take a look at Rashi. So Rashi says min ha-modiim v'lifnim. Rashi says modiim shem krach rachok mi-Yerushalayim tes vav mil. So once again, so modiim is a city that is 15 mil away from Yerushalayim. Kidor Mesechas Psochim Mimenu Velifnim Litzad Yerushalayim Ne'emonin Kadorin Amei Haaretz Likach Mehen Kli Cheres Hadakim. So we'll say, so now listen to this. From Modi'in and in. Now, in means towards Yerushalayim. So from Modi'in to Yerushalayim. So So am ha'aretz potters. I guess that's the right word, right? Somebody makes earthenware utensils. Right? So am ha'aretz potters are believed ultimately, again, regarding the ritual purity of small earthenware vessels. Kigon, kideros, kosos, vikitonios. So we're not talking about large storage utensils, but rather small everyday usage utensils. So cups, plates, kitonios, she'i efshar, belohem. These are the kind of things that people just need for everyday use. Obirushalayim, ein ofsin kivshonos, mipnea ashan, lo lesid, velo lekideros. Levichach, ha'aminom shelo ligzer aleim, she'in gozin gzir ala tzibor, she'in rovetzu yachalava. Okay, so watch, there's a lot happening over here. Now remember, we're going to see on the next daf, that halacha lemaisa, you can't make earthenware utensils in Yerushalayim. It's fascinating. Why can't you make earthenware utensils in Yerushalayim? Because earthenware utensils require a kiln. A kiln generates smoke. We don't want any smoke-producing activities in Yerushalayim because it blackens the walls of the city. And we want the beauty of Yerushalayim to be maintained, and therefore no kilns in Yerushalayim. Now I will say, what that means, if there are no kilns in Yerushalayim, so earthenware utensils are staples of everyday use. So here's the issue. Normally we would say, in a vacuum, we would say, can you purchase earthenware utensils from an Am Haaretz? In a vacuum, can you purchase it? No, because again, Am Haaretz are not careful with the laws of Tum and Tara. Earthenware utensils are even more complicated, right? Because at the end of the day, once they become tameh, they can't become tahar, right? There's no way to purify them. But listen to this. Nevertheless, the Mishnah says, Ein gozrin gzera la tzibor, she doesn't be yochalambo. Chazal cannot create a gzera that creates undue hardship upon the general populace. So on one hand, we can't make earthenware utensils in Yerushalayim. If you tell people that they can't go ahead and purchase earthenware utensils from Ame Haaretz, it's impossible. It's an impossible situation. So what did Chazal say? They said, you know what? You could purchase earthenware utensils, everyday earthenware utensils, from an Ame Haaretz, from Modi'in, inwards towards Yerushalayim. Because the hope is that merchants close to Yerushalayim will have a little bit more of a sensitivity to the halachos of ritual purity and impurity, and therefore halacha lemaisa, you could go ahead and purchase from them. So back to the Mishnah. That's the introduction. We'll say, so mina modim elifnim, ne'amonat licharis, from modi'in and in, so ultimately, again, so you are permitted to go ahead and purchase earthenware utensils from an Am Haaretz. Mina modi'in velachutz, but from out Modi'in and out, so we'll say that means from Modi'in and further away from Yerushalayim, we'll see what the status of Modi'in itself is. Ein ne'emonin, you are not believed, or in other words, you are not permitted to go ahead and purchase earthenware utensils from an Am Haaretz. Keitzad, so what's the example? Hakedar, shehu mocher hakederos, nichnas lifnim min ha-modi'im, hu hakedar, vehena hakederos, vehena lochin ne'emon. So we'll say, this is actually interesting. So therefore, how does this play out? So the Mishnah says, if the potter is the one who is selling the utensils, comes in from Modi'im towards Yerushalayim, he's the potter selling his wares directly to the purchasers, ne'eman. Ultimately, he's permitted. Yotza, eino ne'eman. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. You could have the same guy with the same utensils. If he's outside of Modi'im, further away from Yerushalayim, can you buy from him? No. Same guy, same utensils, sets up shop inside of Modi'im, close to Yerushalayim, can you buy from him? Yes. But again, the Mishnah just gives certain criteria. This is provided that ultimately, again, it is the potter himself who is the seller, who ultimately is selling only his wares and directly to the purchaser. Incredible. So we'll say, so says the Gemara Tano, Modi'im. What about Modi'im itself? So we'll say, here's what's interesting. What's the status of the city of Modi'im itself? In other words, we've been talking about inside of Modi'im, outside of Modi'im. That I understand. What about a seller in Modi'im itself? Can you purchase in the city? Says the Gemara, listen to this. Tano, Modi'im, pamim kilifnim, pamim kilachutz. Sometimes Modi'im is like inside, in other words, closer to Yerushalayim, and sometimes is like outside of Yerushalayim. Ketzad, what's an example of this? Listen to this. Kedar Yotze v'chaver nichnas kilifnim. This is fascinating. So let's imagine the following situation. The potter is that we'll call this, for our purpose, we'll call this interior area, exterior area. Interior area for our purposes represents between Modi'im and Yerushalayim. Exterior represents outside of Modi'im, away from Yerushalayim. So we'll say, watch this case. This is great. So listen to this. Kedar Yotze, imagine you have the Kedar leaving the interior area, the Chaver Nichnas. But the Chaver is coming in from the exterior area. And where do they meet? Where do they meet? Ultimately, again, Kilifnim. They meet in Modi'im. In that case, Modi'im is considered like an interior area. Right? Now, why is that? Now, this is quite fascinating. Why is that? Because if you don't treat it like an interior area, what's going to happen? The Chaver is going to lose the opportunity to purchase the earthenware utensils. Because presumably, where is the Kedar, where is the potter going? He's going towards the exterior area. So right now, again, the potter is going out, the Chaver is coming in, they meet in Modi'im, we want to give the Chaver the opportunity to purchase the earthenware utensils, therefore Modi'im itself will be treated like the interior area. However, Shnehen Nichnasim. What if they're both coming into Modi'im? Oh, Shnehen Yotzim. Or they're both going out, right? In other words, Shnehen Nichnasim means they're both coming in from the exterior area, or they're both going out from the interior area, Kilachutz. Modi'im is considered to be like the exterior area. Why is that? Because listen to this. If they're both going in, then Rashi says, just let the Chaver wait until they're out of the city, closer to Yerushalayim. And if they're going out, then why didn't the Chaver purchase the utensils already earlier when they were both in the interior area? In that case, Modi'in will be treated like an exterior area. Incredible. We also learn this. Hakedar Shemachar es Hakderus. Ultimately, again, if the potter sold the pots, v'nichnas lifnim, and he goes inside, he goes into the interior, v'nichnas lifnim mina modi'im, and he's going ahead and enters in the interior area between Modi'im and Yerushalayim. Taima dilifnim mina modi'im. The reason you're permitted to purchase from him is why? Because he's in the interior area between Modi'im and Yerushalayim. Ha modi'im gufa, lo mehemen. But it would appear from this, based on the Reisha, that Modi'in itself, ultimately again, you're not believed. Ema Seifa, yet look at the end of the Mishnah. Yatza, ultimately again, if Halacha Lamaisa, you left. Eino Ne'eman, ultimately again, if you left Modi'in, he's not believed. Ha Modi'im Gufa Ne'eman. So it sounds like again, in Modi'in itself, ultimately again, he is Ne'eman. So which one is it? Right? Is ultimately, is the potter believed in Modi'im or not? The Gemara says, Elav Shmamina, Kan Bekedar Yotze, Bechaver Nichnas, Kan Bisheshnein Yotzin, O Shnehen Nichnasin, Shmamina. It comes out over here as follows, that Halacha Lamaisa, there are essentially two, two cases. Case number one, is where the potter is going out, and the Chaver is coming in, right? And where do they meet? They meet in Modi'in. What's the halacha? In that case, Modi'in is considered to be like the interior area. Because again, if we don't give the Chaver the opportunity to purchase the earthenware utensils, then he's not going to have access to them again. But in the second case really comprised of two cases, where halacha l'maaseh said they're both walking in together. So from the exterior to the interior together. So ultimately, again, in that case, we'll treat Modi'im like what? Like exterior. Why? Because we'll just tell the Chaver, listen, you're both walking in anyway. Just wait until you get further into the interior area and purchase the utensils there. Similarly, when they're both walking out from the interior to the exterior, and now they're in Modi'im, we'll treat Modi'im like the inside, because there we tell the Chaver, why didn't you purchase the utensils when you were in the interior area? Beautiful. So essentially, sometimes Modi'in is treated like the interior, sometimes Modi'in is treated like the exterior. It simply depends on the orientation of the Chaver and the Kedar. Kedar being the potter. Beautiful. Tana. Ne'emanin b'kli cheres hadakin hadakin l'kodesh. So let's listen to this. So we learned that ultimately, again, this is our Mishnah, that the Am Haaretz is believed regarding klei cheres, earthenware utensils, to small earthenware utensils, to be used for kodesh purposes. Take a look at Rashi Abosai, second wide line on the top of Rashi. Tana ne'eman al klei cheres hadakin l'kodesh. So Rashi says as follows: v'hadisnan min amodiim v'lifnim ne'emanin al klei cheres b'klei cheres hadakin amru. But say, remember again, we're not talking about all earthenware utensils. We're talking about, as Rashi already said this in the Mishnah, we're talking about small earthenware utensils. Amru she'i efshar belohem. I will say, these are the type of utensils that are necessary for day-to-day life. So remember again, this was the cups, the plates, right? The small utensils necessary for day-to-day life. Kidim fishalel. Avagasin kigon, I'm reading Rashi. Avagasin kigon chavis liyayin ein ne'emanin ela besoch yushan kidlakamon. But I will say, but ultimately again, large utensils, like barrels for wine, they're only believed inside of Yerushalayim itself. That's Rashi. So we'll say, so therefore I'll go back to the Gemara. So Ne'emanim mikli cheres hadakin l'kodesh. So when we're talking about that Am Haaretz is believed regarding earthenware utensils, it's only for small utensils to be used with kodesh. Amar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish says, by the way, what does it mean small utensils? V'hu shenitlan biyado achas. Talking about the type of utensil that could be handled with one hand. So Rabbi Yochanan Amra filu shalom nitlan biyado achas. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it could even be something that's a little bit larger, that maybe it requires two hands. But the point is, it's day-to-day usage utensils as opposed to storage utensils. Amrei Shlakish, lo shanu ela reikonin ava maleyin lo. Furthermore, Amrei Shlakish says, we're only talking about utensils that are empty. But anything that's full, they don't have credibility for. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, afilu maleyim vafilu afikorsuso lisocho. Rabbi Yochanan says, even if the utensils are full, and even if afikorsuso, so Rashi says over here, afikorsuso is afilu malayin mashkin shalo shinin shal kodesh. Even if the utensil, right, is filled ultimately again, even if it's filled ultimately again with the mashkin, with the liquids of the Am Haaretz, ultimately again, he still believed. Incredible. Rava says, Omod Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Yochanan agrees, Pemashke Atzman Shehin Temeyin. Rabbi will say, this is actually fascinating. Rabbi Yochanan says, but Halacha Lamaisa, even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that Halacha Lamaisa, the Mashke itself, is Tameh. Right? In other words, the Mashkin of the Am Haaretz is Tameh, even though the utensil is going to be tar. V'altetama, and don't be crazed by this. Don't wonder about this. In other words, say, how can you have a situation where Halacha Lamaisa, the utensil is tar, but the contents are tamein. Shahari lugin mali mashkin. Because I'm about to say, if you have a lugin is a wooden utensil, cleates, right? If you have a wooden utensil that's filled ultimately with liquid, lugin tamein. Tumas shiva umashkin tahorin. Ultimately, again, you could have a situation where halacha lemaisa, the utensil itself could become tamei, a tumah for 7 days. And ultimately, again, the mashkin could be tar. So I will say, Rashi points out over here that halacha lemaisa, this could be a situation where you have tumah on the first floor of a house, a klicheres, right, with an opening to the second floor, a klicheres blocking it. We're not going to get into the intricacies over here, but the point the Gemara is making is you could have a situation where the kli has one state, and ultimately, again, the contents of the kli have a different status in halacha. Good. So bottom line, what we take away from this particular Mishnah is, remember, this is not really focused as much on the chumras of truma or kodesh, but really focused on another very important halacha, which is the status of earthenware utensils. And therefore, again, the sugya teaching us that halacha lemaisa, even though normally we would say that one should not purchase earthenware utensils from an Am Haaretz, because again, if somebody's not careful with the laws of ritual purity and impurity, we'd have to assume that their earthenware utensils are problematic as well. Halacha lemaisa Chazal relaxed this standard for utensils sold from between Modi'in and Yerushalayim, allowing us to purchase utensils from Am Haaretz. And again, This is also driven by the fact that you can produce earthenware utensils in Yerushalayim itself. Be it earthenware utensils are a staple of day-to-day living. Chazal relaxed the standards. What's the status of Modi'im itself? That depends on the circumstances of the people involved. But halacha lemaaseh, again, there's a license to be able to do this. The Gemara telling us it's not all kelim, day-to-day kelim, not usage kelim. Good for good. We'll say, so that's the takeaway from the sugya. Let's go back to the Mishnah. Hagabon. We'll say, really, all these just fascinating cases. Hagabon shenichnesu. We started early today because I want to show you some Rambam's also really fascinating halachas that the Rambam gleans from this. But let's get a little bit vaiter in the Gemara first. So Mishnah says, well, Hagabon shenichnesu l'soch habayis. We'll say, listen to this. Now, these are gabon. What kind of gabon are these? We'll say, in this context, the Gabbai means tax collectors. So look at Rashi. This is fascinating. Yisrael shen gabboin lemelech nochri, ligbos miyad Yisrael gulgulios, umasin varnonios. So we'll say these are Jewish tax collectors who work for a Gentile king. And they collect all kinds of taxes, right? There's a head tax, there's a general tax, there's an income tax, right? So these are the tax collectors. Now, both say, now understand, these tax collectors, by the right of the king, had the right to enter people's homes to seize tax collateral, right? So remember again, both say, this would not fly with a Jewish king, because remember again, in halacha, it's an explicit pasuk in the Torah. Bachutz tamod. If somebody owes you money and you want to take collateral, you have every right as long to take collateral. You have no right to enter into someone's home without their permission to take collateral. Pasuk says bachutz tamod. You have to wait outside and wait for the lender to bring you something. It's a very important halacha. So that's why Rashi points out over here, the gabbain here must be working for a non-Jewish king, right? Because as a non-Jewish king would give them permission, I guess eminent domain, give them permission to go and enter into the home. So listen to this. See, here's the problem. Hagamon shenichnesu l'soch habayis, if ultimately again gabbain came into the home, then I will say, now what's the issue? What's the issue? The issue is, the assumption is the tax collectors were Amei Haaretz. Or Amei Haaretz. Now, we'll say this is not a knock on the tax collectors, but it's just, it's fascinating, by the way. We'll say, you know, we often have like this conception that, you know, it's human nature to kind of glorify the past. And we often have this idea that in the past, right, everybody was sitting and learning. They were Talmidei Chachamim, they were so wise. We'll say, isn't it incredible? The majority of people have, and probably always will be, Amei Haaretz. Right, they both say. I just want to point out what we get to do, like every single morning, learning these gemaras, learning these sugyas, learning Masechas Chagiga, sugyas and Tumah Tahara. Both say this is like a chiddush. This is like a chiddush. What we're doing today has been like the purview of the intellectual elite throughout the generations. You see, most people were just simply unknowledgeable in these areas. We have a great sechus, a great opportunity to be able to learn these sugyas that really were, you know, Masechas Chagiga, I will say, was one of these gemaras that until the Lublin Rav came along and introduced Daf Yomi, sat on the shelf. And we have this chus to crack it open and to delve into these sugyas. So the tax collector was ignorant. See, here's the problem. He's right, the tax collector is coming into my house, and what is he looking for? Not Maseches Chagiga, right? What is he looking for? He's looking for an item of value, which I will say, right? He's looking for collateral. And what's the concern? He's touching my stuff, right? The concern is he's touching my stuff. So now someone's been in my house touching my stuff. And this person is an Amei Haaretz, therefore not careful with the laws of ritual purity and impurity. Similarly, v'china ganovim. Listen to this. Thief, someone came into my home, took stuff. Now, both say, now this is incredible. Shechziru es hakelim. The ganav is returning the item that he stole. We'll talk about this, right? The ganav is returning the item that he stole. Now, both say, now here's the issue. Thank you, ganav, for returning the item you stole. What's the problem? The problem I have is, what's the halacha regarding Tumah Tahareh? Right? What is the status regarding Tumah Tahareh? So listen to this. So ne'emanin lomar lo naganu. So what should I listen to this? I asked the tax collector. Nu, tell me. Reuven, tax collector. What did you touch? Right? Nothing. Ganiv, you came into my house. Right? You returned the item. Thank you very much. What else did you touch? They are believed to say, we didn't touch anything. They believe to say, right? Ne'aman lomar lo naganu. Both say, look at Rashi. Ne'aman lomar shelo nagu l'socho l'kodesh ne'aman avalo l'truma. Both say, remember again, the theme over here always is the chumrah. I should say the difference in the Kodesh and Truma. They are believed to say that they did not touch anything regarding Kodesh, but not for Truma. The Kula Masnis and Achomer be Kodesh mi Truma Kaimo. Ubehejesh and Ibita Sefta, Gabash, Nichnas, Losoch, Abais, Neman Altaras, Chatos, Vein Neman Altaras, Truma, Vahai Chatos, Prabosis. Therefore, again, Saloch Alamaisa. So the tax collector and the thief, if I ask them, did you touch anything? They are believed to say no. They're believed to say no. Yerushalayim, say, but again, Rashi points out they're believed legabe kodesh, but not for truma. Yerushalayim ne'amanan ala kodesh ubishas haregel af ala truma. In Yerushalayim, they're believed ultimately again for kodesh, and during the times of the regalim, they are believed even regarding truma. Both say we're going to discuss this idea that in Yerushalayim during the regalim, there is even a greater level of blanket credibility, which we'll discuss. Good. So let's analyze this. Or minhi, really fascinating Mishnah. Or minhi, haga ba'in shenichnesu l'soch habayis, habayis kulo tameh. Suppose you listen to this. The gabon, the tax collectors who walk into the home, the entire home is tameh. So understand, what this price is highlighting is what? Which makes a lot of sense. When the tax collector comes into your house, what do you have to assume he touched? Everything. So therefore, again, everything, look at Rashi. Kokli abayis tamei, shechazaka gabon, mashu bikelim. Because Moshe, the assumption is that when the gabai is coming, and he's coming in to take stuff, and therefore he's touching everything. And therefore, aloch alamai is saying, you have to treat it like tamei. So yet our Mishnah doesn't say that. Lokashya, ha diiko nachri ba'adayu, ha deleka nachri ba'adayu. Oh, now Moshe, what does it depend on? Is there a Gentile accompanying the Jewish tax collector or not? This none. Listen to this. Im yesh nachri imahen, if the Jew is accompanied by a non-Jew, ne'emanin lomar lo nichnasnu. Then I will say, ultimately, again, here's what's interesting. If, let's say, the Jewish tax collector is accompanied by a non-Jew, we're going to see what the role of the non-Jew is in just a moment. Right? So ultimately, again, the Jewish tax collector is believed to say, we never entered your home. However, aval in ne'emanin lomar lo nichnasnu. I'm sorry, aval in ne'emanin lomar nichnasnu aval lo naganu. See, I'll say, here's what's fascinating. If the Jew is accompanied by a non-Jew, so the Jew is believed to say, we never entered. But once we know they entered, he's not believed to say, we didn't touch anything. So the Gemara Sabosai, so therefore again, apparently once the, so just before we delve into this, so the Mishnah must be talking about a case where the Jewish tax collector is acting on his own. So when the Jew is by himself, that's when he has credibility to say, I didn't touch anything. But if the Jew is accompanied by a non-Jew, then halacha l'maisa, there is no credibility for him to say, I didn't touch anything. We assume if he entered, he touched everything. So the Gemara said, v'chi iko nachri ba'adayu ma'havi. I don't understand, what does it matter when there's a non-Jew together with the Jew? What's the impact of that? Listen to this. So the Gemara said, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar, chad amar, emas nochri alehen. So we'll say, it's a machlokes. One says, because there is the fear of the nochri upon him. In other words, we'll say, that apparently, again, the nochri is like the senior tax collector, and ultimately, again, the Jew is kind of working for him. So in that case, because there is a fear of the nochri upon the Jew, that's when we assume that the Jew touched everything. V'chad amar, emas malchus alehen. The other opinion says, no, it's not a fear of the nochri, but ultimately, again, it's a fear of the monarchy. That maybe the guy, maybe the Nachri is going to tell on the Jew to the monarch that ultimately the Jew's not being diligent or vigilant enough in his job. My Ben Arabo say, what's the nafkamina between the two? So what's the nafkamina would be a situation where the Nachri himself is not an important individual. If it's about the fear that the Jew has for a Nachri, he only has a fear of the Nachri of what? If the Nachri is chashiv. But if it's about the Nachri telling on him to the king, then ultimately that could apply even to a Nachri who is not Chashev. Rabbi will say, but for our purposes, we make a distinction as to whether or not the Jew is working alone or the Jew is working with a Nachri. When the Jew is working with a Nachri, we assume that if the Jew entered, he touched everything. But when the Jew is working by himself, that's when there is the possibility to say that what? I entered, but I didn't touch anything. Incredible. The China Ganar, both said this is a great case. So can you imagine this? So right, Reuven breaks into my house. and he steals stuff. And now he comes back. He went right. He comes back and he's returning the item that he stole. So I say to him, Ruvain, no, what else did you touch? What else did you touch? And he says, nothing. Nothing. Right there. I had my mind on you. All I wanted was your Maseches Chagiga. That's all I wanted, right? I just took one thing. That was it. I touched nothing else. Ultimately, again, he's believed. So it says the Gemara, let's understand. So the Gemara says, so let's listen to this. The Brisa says as follows. If thieves break into my home, the only thing that's tame is the area where literally I see that they walked in my house. Drisa Ragla, I mean the area that they traversed. So the area that I see that they were in, that's the area that is tame. So look at Rashi. Now understand, by the ganov, there's two things that's happening over here. Number one, there's what did the ganov touch in my house? And I will say, number two, there's one thing for sure he touched, which is what? Right? The item he stole. So I will say, so I just want to point out, when the Mishnah says that the ganov is Naaman, that means that the ganav is ne'eman not only on the rest of the stuff in my house, but he's also ne'eman on the item that he stole. In other words, we're both saying that he is believed to say, I did not transmit any ritual pure impurity to the item that I stole. Let me give you an example of this. Let's say the ganav stole a kli cheres. In order to throw any tense, we're both saying, now you know this. How does the kli cheres become tameh? Excellent. From the interior, right? A kli cheres, supposed to say, now listen to this. I would have thought before I saw this Mishnah that when the ganav stole a kli cheres, I have to assume that what? He got his hands all inside of that kli cheres, right? And that again, he was metameyet and he's putting shrutzim in there and he's got a kezayis of a corpse and he's doing anything and everything, right? That's what I would think that's what I have to assume. But yet, amazingly enough, what the Mishnah says is that when the ganav brings the kli back to me, he is believed to say that I only handled the kli cheres on the exterior, never did anything in the interior, and therefore halacha lemaisa the kli cheres is tahar. Now I will say, that's huge. That's huge. And obviously, if he's believed regarding the kli that he stole, it goes without saying that what? That he's believed regarding anything else that's in my house as well. Okay, so I'll say, see, that's the Mishnah. Now the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Now listen to this. The Braisa says, "Haganavim shenichnis lo soch habayis." So again, the Braisa says, "Ganavim enter into the home. The only part of the home that's tameh is the area where I see the ganavim." So I'll say, so let's say again, I see ganavim came into my home, and I see my dining room is turned upside down. The rest of the house is totally fine and intact. Dining room is turned upside down. So I realize where the ganavim. Where were the ganavim? They're in the dining room. So I will say, see, for the Braisa it says, any stuff in the dining room is presumed to be tameh. So that sounds like anything that a ganav handles, right, is tameh. So certainly, again, the utensil that he steals, it's very nice that he returns it, should be tameh as well. Contradicts our Mishnah. Wow. Who are we talking about, Rabbi? So we're talking about ganavim who did tshuva. Who did tshuva? Well, say, look at Rashi. And what does it mean if they did tshuva? Listen to this. Kisha asu tshuva. Umachmas tshuva hechzirum. Rabbi, say, why is the ganav bringing back the utensil? Bringing back the utensil. So you could say, you could be cynical. The guy is bringing out these ends because, you know what? Oh, I thought this was worth more, right? Right? Sorry, I'll be back. I'll be back tomorrow night, right? Right? He's giving me, you could be, or I'll say, no. He's about tshuva. I'll say, even a ganav can become a baal tshuva. He's doing tshuva. So Rashi says over here, because he's doing tshuva, hilchach lo meshakri. I will say, isn't this absolutely incredible? I will say, do you know what tshuva does? Tshuva restores your entire personalistic credibility. Yesterday I was a ganav. Yesterday I was a ganav. And today I'm contrite. I'm bringing back the utensil. I'm returning the stolen item back to the owner. And ultimately, again, I tell him, here's the utensil. And by the way, I never put my hand inside of it. The kli cheres is totally tar. Rabbi say, now I'd be tempted to say, yes, goyach, thank you. You're a ganav. You have no credibility. Kamashma on Rabbi say that when a person does tshuva, tshuva affects a comprehensive, cathartic change. Eino osa ish, like the Rambam says, I'm not the same person. I'm someone different. When I do tshuva, it is a complete personalistic overhaul. My credibility is restored. And now that I'm doing tshuva, I'm returning the item. I am also believed to say I did not transmit any ritual impurity to the item. I just want to point out, we learn about tshuva, we hear about tshuva all of the time, and sometimes there's a little voice inside of our head that says, come on, that doesn't really work. You can't really change. You can't really become someone different. You can't really restore your personalistic credibility. And I will say, here you see that it is 1,000% unequivocally true, and it is true not just in a hashkafic sense, it's true in a halachic sense as well. That I will say, I stole the item, I'm the ganav. And now again, when I return the item as a form of my tshuva, I am believed, I have credibility, I'm believed to say, lo nagati, I did not touch this utensil in a way which would have transmitted to Rabosai. Incredible. Tshuva really works. It really works. It really changes who I am. It really restores my personalistic identity. My credibility is given back to me. Absolutely incredible. Dekanami, Diktani, Shech Zira Sakin Shayin. Rabosai, what are we talking about? We're talking about a ganav who's returning the kli. Why is a ganav returning the kli? Ultimately, because he did tshuva. So therefore, I will say there are two different cases. In a situation, ultimately, again, where the ganav rampaged through my home, and I see stuff overturned everywhere, yeah, you have to be choshesh that the ganav came in contact with these items, and therefore they're in a state of ritual impurity. Ultimately, what's our Mishnah? Our Mishnah is talking about a case of a ganav who's about tshuva. And once you become Baal Tshuva, your credibility is restored. And once that credibility is restored, you are believed to say you did not touch the Kli in a way which would have communicated Tumah. Incredible. In Yerushalayim, ultimately, again, they are believed regarding Kodesh. So the Gemara says, Tana, V'ne'emonin akli cheres gasin l'kodesh. So I'll say, so remember again, in Yerushalayim, and Amaretz is believed even regarding large earthenware utensils for Kodesh purpose. So also remember again, in the previous Mishnah, we were speaking about the ability to go ahead and purchase Klei Cheres, what type of Klei Cheres? Small utensils. In Yerushalayim, ultimately in Amaretz is believed even regarding large earthenware utensils for Kodesh purposes. The Kol Kach Lama. They both say, why do we go so far to believe in Am Haaretz regarding large earthenware utensils? Shein Osin Kiv Shonos Bishlaim. Because as we said before, we do not make earthenware kilns in Yerushalayim. Why? Like we said before, because Halacha Lamaisa, they both say, like Yerashi, Shein Osin Kiv Shonos Bishlaim, Lo Ledakim Velo Legasim. So they both say, ultimately, again, the reason for that is because Halacha Lamaisa, we don't want to blacken the walls of Yerushalayim. Incredible. So if Rabbi say, Salach al-Mais, here's what's interesting. So when it comes to, Rashi points this out, when it comes to small earthenware utensils that everyone needs, so there Chazal relaxed the standards up until where? Modi'im. You could purchase earthenware utensils from an Am Haaretz anywhere from Modi'im and in. Large earthenware utensils, you can only purchase from merchants where? Inside of Yerushalayim itself. Incredible. So the Gemara goes weiter. Ubishas haregel afala truma. And Rabbi said, at the time of the Yom Tovim, we're going to see this Gemara. We're going to see this halacha more explicitly. In the time of the Yom Tovim, they're believed even regarding truma. So in Hanimi, Rabbi said, from where do I know this from? So Rabbi said, remember again, we're going to speak about the fact that during the regalim, during Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkis, Ami Aretz have an expanded level of credibility that even extends to truma. Where do I know this concept from? Minhani Mili, Amr Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Damar Kra, Vaye Asif Kol Ish Yisrael Elayir, Ki Ish Echad Chaverim. It was actually a very beautiful pasuk. Every person was gathered onto the city, Ki Ish Echad, like one people, Chaverim. Asan Kulan Chaverim. Ultimately, and I will say, so ultimately again, the pasuk makes them like Chaverim, anytime they gather together. And when does everyone gather together? During the regalim. So you see, it's a beautiful drush on the pasuk that during the Zman HaSiv, when everyone's gathered together, everyone is treated like a chaver. We'll expound on that in a little bit. So we'll say, let's go to the Mishnah. We'll say another, he's a great case. Haposeach es chaviso. We'll say, listen to this case. V'amaschil b'sasa gaf haregel. So a little bit of background. Look at Rashi. Haposeach es chaviso. We'll say first wide line. Chaver shepasach es chaviso limkar yayim b'Yerushalayim. So we'll say, here's the case. You have a chaver b'regel. So we'll say, here's the case. A chaver, right? So let's say I'm a person who is careful with the laws of Tumah and Tahara. Okay? I open up my barrel on the regalim to go ahead and sell the contents of the barrel. So now what happens over the course of Yom Tiv? What happens over the course of Yom Tiv? Everybody's coming around and buying wares. So I'm also saying, when people buy, let's say, wine from me or different things from me, what happens? There are Amei Aretz and everybody's touching stuff. So I opened the barrel on Yom Tiv in order to be able to sell my wares. Look at Rashi. So we'll say, here's the issue. We just said before that during the regal, everyone is treated like a chaver, right? So essentially, we'll say what that means is, and this is really fascinating, during the Yamim Tovim, during the regalim in Yerushalayim, essentially, everyone is treated like a chaver, and therefore, there's no problem of Tumas Am Haaretz. Okay, great. So now I'm a chaver. I opened up a barrel of wine. I'm selling my wine. Everybody's coming and buying from me. Fantastic. Everybody's also touching everything. Okay, so now watch this. Back to Mishnah. So I'm saying, now here's the issue. Now I have leftover wine, or for that matter, leftover bread, after the regel. Now Yom Tiv is over. So I'll say, what do I know? What do I know happened over the course of Yom Tiv? What do I know happened over the course of Yom Tiv? Everyone touched, including who? Ami Aretz. So during Yom Tiv itself, everyone's treated like a chaver. The shaila is, what could I do with my leftovers? What could I do with my leftovers? Rabbi Yehuda Amar Yigmar. Rabbi Yehuda says, finish it up. Right? You could sell it off, not a problem. The Chum say, no, lo Yigmar. You cannot go ahead and finish it up. Rashi says over here, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Yigmar, both say very simple. Rabbi Yehuda says you have to let the chaver merchant finish it up. Why? Because if you don't let it finish up, then what? Then what? Then the truth is he's going to be reticent to open up additional barrels of wine or start selling off new loaves of bread. Because if he knows that he's going to be stuck with the leftovers, he's going to be reticent to sell additional items. And I will say, remember again, that stymies the marketplace. That stymies the marketplace. Says the Gemara, and Chum say lo yigmar. Chum yase Rabbi Ami Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, Akilad Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. So we'll listen to this. Rabbi Ami Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, we're sitting on the porch of Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. But we'll say, I always love Gemaras like this, because they paint like such like a beautiful, relaxing picture. They're sitting on the porch, right? And they're talking, I'll say, but you know, what does it mean for a Yid to relax? You sit on the porch, you have a little l'chaim, and you talk Torah. Right? I'll say, that's how a Jew relaxes. On the porch, I'm kind of infusing the l'chaim into the narrative, but it feels like it should be there, right? It feels like it should be there. So pasach chad va'amar, ma'ushe nichena l'regel. So we'll say, so ultimately again, so they began to go ahead and discuss, ma'ushe nichena b'regel. Ultimately again, what's the halacha? Rashi says, ma'ushe nichena li b'drabanan. So we'll say, here's the interesting shayla. So let's say the chaver has leftovers. Can he take the leftovers, package it up, and what? And what? Save it for the next Yom Tiv. See, this is according to the Rabbanah. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda says, whatever is left over after Yom Tiv, you could sell off, right? And you could assume that it's still tar. According to the Rabbanon, who say that Allah Kala Maisa, the dispensation only applies to Yom Tiv, but after Yom Tiv, right, you have to treat the wine or the bread like it has Tumas Ama Aretz. Can you just simply leave it for the next Yom Tiv or not? So the Gemara says, how can you say that you should leave it? We know that every single Ama Aretz and his brother touch this stuff, right? So we know, Abba says, so ultimately, on Yom Tiv itself, the restrictions are lifted. But Abba says, see, here's what's fascinating. See, when Chazal said that we lift Tumas Ama Aretz on Yom Tiv, see, Rabbi Yosef, what that means is, we simply don't what? There is no enforcement. But at the end of the day, we recognize that every Am Haaretz and his brother touch this stuff. Which means that as soon as Yom Tov is over, according to the Rabbanan, Tumas Am Haaretz is once again revisited upon this produce. So once you know that it's there, how can you leave it for the next Yom Tov? Amar Le Atu Ada Idna Lav Kalyam Mashvishin Ba. But up until this point, every Am Haaretz was touching it as well. Amar Le Hachi Hashta Bishlama Ada Idna Tumas Am Haaretz Beregel. So it's different. Up until now, Tumas Am Haaretz during Yom Tov, essentially, the Torah suspended it. But now, after Yom Tov, it's Tamei again. To which the Gemara says, Nimei Kitanoi. Rabbi says, ultimately, there should be a machlokes Tanoim. Tani Chade, Yanichena L'Regel Acher, V'Tanya Idach, Lo Yanichena L'Regel Acher. One opinion says, you can leave the leftovers for the next Yom Tov. And the second opinion says, you can't leave the leftovers to the next Yom Tov. My love, Tanoihi, isn't I machlokes Tanoim? Lo, hadi tani yanichen Rabbi Yehudahi. No, the opinion that says that you could leave it till the next Yom Tov, that's Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. Vadi tani lo yanichen Rabbanon. And the one who said that you can't leave it over, that's the Rabbanon. That doesn't make sense. But Tizbara, how Rabbi Yehuda will say, why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, do you have to leave it over for the next Yom Tov? The Rabbi says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what can you do? Finish up. Also, remember again, Rabbi Huda says that Halacha L'maisa, we let you sell off the remainder of whatever you have from Yom Tov, and we let you sell it off in a state of Tara, because if we don't let you do that, you're not going to open up, you're not going to be willing to sell the wares freely. So the Gemara says, so Rabbi Huda would not require you to go and leave it to the next Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, Ela hadik tani lo yanichen Rabbi Huda. It's fascinating. Perhaps when the Braisa said, don't leave it over, that's Rabbi Huda. What does it mean when it says don't leave it over? That means what? You don't have to leave it over because you could sell it off after Yom Tov. And the opinion that says that you could leave it till the next Yom Tov, ultimately, again, Rabbanon. Umay lo yanichena. What does Rabbi Huda mean when he says you don't have to leave it over? Ultimately, again, she'in tzarech lahanicha. It means there is no need to leave it over to the next Yom Tov. So Rabbi will say, what comes out of here is really something fascinating. We're going to see the Rambam tomorrow, Mir Tzasha. And I'm going to say, don't get nervous. I know we're only up to Amud Aleph. But again, remember, tomorrow's the last half of Chagiga, and it's a short, the last half of Chav Zayin is actually a short daf. But it gives us the opportunity to really relish these sugyas a little bit, because they're really quite fascinating. So here, we have another really fascinating machlokes. So we'll say, here's the important piece of information to remember. What is the status of Tumas Am Haaretz during the Regel? What's the status? Suspended. There is no Tumas Am Haaretz during the Regel, which is fascinating. Now, Bosai, now what that means is, I'm a chaver. It's amazing, right? Bosai, 5 minutes ago I was a ganav. Right? 5 minutes ago I was a ganav. But you see, I did tshuva, I returned the stolen item, and now I'm a chaver. Right? Incredible what you could accomplish in a couple of minutes. I'm a chaver, I'm selling my wine now during the Regel. Right? So I've got a barrel open. Every Am Haaretz and his brother is coming sampling my wine. So during the Yom Tov, not a problem. Wine, not a problem. No Tumas Am Haaretz during Yom Tov. Now I will say what happens. I have a half a barrel left over after Yom Tov. What can I do with my leftover wine? So Rabbi Huda says, sell it off. Essentially, once you opened it, Beheter, we let you finish it off, Beheter, as well. The Rabbanan say no. The lifting of Tumas Am Haaretz is only when? On Yom Tov itself. But once Yom Tov is over, say, what's the status of that wine according to the Rabbanan? What's the status of the wine? What's the status? Tameh. Then I will say, it sounds like according to the Rabbanan, what can I do? I could put it away until when? Next Yom Tov, and go ahead and sell it off then. We'll see what Rambam does there. But we'll say just one more Mishnah, quickly. Mishabra haregel ma'avir nataras azara. But we'll say this is incredible. When Yom Tov was over, they would purify everything in the Beis HaMikdash. We'll discuss exactly what this means in tomorrow's Mishnah. And we'll say, but it sounds like Amei Haaretz were everywhere, and those Amei Haaretz, they've got their hands on everything. I said, so including everything in the Beis HaMikdash. Bosei, it's throngs and throngs of people. So they would be metaher everything in the Beis HaMikdash, or in the Azara, means in the courtyard. We'll discuss the parameters of that. Avra HaRegel, the Yom Shishi, so the Gemara says, L'hayim ma'avirim ne'kavad HaShabbos. However, if Yom Tov ended, let's say Thursday night, so Friday was Yisru Chag, there wasn't enough time to purify everything in the Beis Hamikdash because they were busy with Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af lo b'yom hey, she'en chol b'yom. Rabbi Yehuda said, even if Yom Tov ended on a Wednesday night, right? So Thursday, even then there wasn't enough time to purify everything in the Beis Hamikdash because the Kohanim were busy with Shabbos. Tana, she'en Kohanim p'nirim elohotzi b'dashin. Because we both say, what were the Kohanim so busy with on Isru Chag? Both say, listen to this. This is fascinating. A Matzah Yom Tov through Isru Chag, you know what they were busy with? Trumas Hadashen. Rabbi said, Trumas Hadashen is the first avoda every single day, which is what? Taking out of the ash. Right? Essentially taking out the trash, taking out of the ash. That was Rabbi said, on Isru Chag, they were ridiculously busy with that. Why? Because there was such a high volume of karbonos that were brought over the course of Yom Tov. There was so much ash to be taken out that Allah said that's what they were busy with. And therefore, again, if Yom Tov ends either on a Thursday or a Friday, there just simply wasn't enough time to take out the ash and to purify the utensils before Shabbos, in which case they would wait for the purification of the utensils until Sunday. But we'll say what they purified and how they purified it. Emir Hashem, tomorrow, the last daf of Maseches Chagiga. Good, everyone.